sing that last verse again, sister. Hey, there's only one place you can go to when this whole world's falling apart. You can call on the name that is above every name. He's the rock of our salvation. Sing it. So glad I can go to the rock. It's so good to have the Gearhearts with us. Brother David's wave at us back there. Sister Nina, Simon, and who else is here? Diana's here. I haven't seen them kids in 7 years. Oh my goodness. Been in Russia, been in Estonia for 7 years. And it's so good to see them. They are our friends. We love them. I'm going to be a little jealous. I want to spend some time with them. I know there's other ministers out there that want to spend time with them, but I'm going to try to schedule some things. Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to dismiss all of our children at Children's Church, age 5 to 12. We had a great time in youth conference Thursday and Friday in Ellisville, Mississippi, and my wife and I were able to go with the youth and Brother Jose and Brother Jackson, and just had a good time in the Lord. We had great services, and we just got to spend some good time together. So I'm thankful for you being a participant and helping us with our youth conference. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18 in verse number 1. While you're turning there, if you're not on our text list and you want to get all the messages that the church people get during the week, you'll get updated on events and all the things we have going on here. If you'll put your name on a piece of paper and your phone number, I'll get it into the system. If you'll give that to myself or one of the ushers after the service, we'll make sure you get on our text list. Matthew chapter 18 in verse number 1. And at that time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoso shall receive one little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and that he were cast into the depth of the sea. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the service that you've allowed us to be in this morning. We thank you for the singing, the worship, everything that's gone forth. We pray it's become a sweet-smelling savor unto you, O God. Lord, this morning I'm asking you that you would anoint every ear that we can hear what the Spirit would say. We want to be changed and transformed this morning. I'm asking you, O God, that I would become as an oracle of God, that you'd anoint these lips of clay this morning. Lord, I pray that you would speak directly through me. Help me today. Pray for that anointing that makes preaching effective. Lord, we're going to love you for it and give you all the praise, the glory, the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Taking my text from that third verse of Scripture, he says, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, or little children, ye shall not enter in to the kingdom of heaven. That's powerful words. I'm going to preach to you this morning on have you lost the wonder? If you've been saved for a period of time, there's no doubt you have thought back, you've reminisced to the earlier years whenever you first got saved. You first saw the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You first had that experience with God. You were born of the Spirit of God. Everything about you was completely and totally changed. Do you remember when God did that work in your life? I like to think back to those days whenever I passed from death unto life. I was lost, dead, and undone without God, but he saved me and my spirit man came alive. And I'm going to tell you, everything about me was different. The Bible does say in the book of Corinthians, Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm glad for the newness of what happens whenever you're born again of the Spirit of God. Thinking back to when everything was new and exciting, we've all done that. You couldn't believe that the God of heaven would choose you, that he would love you, and that he would forgive you for the sins that you had committed. Do you remember that? When you were awestruck, you were mesmerized, you were overwhelmed with the goodness of God. In other words, you were filled with the wonder of God. Do you remember what it was like to be filled with the wonder of God? I hope you still have that wonder this morning. Some maybe you do in this house, and maybe some do not. But we need to have the wonder of God. I still remember whenever I got saved, everything changed. I wasn't what I needed to be, but I want to tell you, I wasn't what I used to be. I was a brand new creature, and I believe that I was changed instantaneously, but I've changed from glory unto glory as I've walked with Christ, as I've read his word, as I've become obedient to the word of God, as the Spirit of God has changed and transformed me. But when I got saved, my eyes were completely open. I'll never forget. I felt as if I was a blind man and I could see for the first time. I could see. My eyes were open. I remember the grass did look greener and the sky did look bluer. Everything about life seemed so much more beautiful than ever before. I still remember that night, about a week after I got saved, I was in the parking lot, First Assembly of God in Bullard, and it was at nighttime. And I had just been saved about 7 days. And I still remember looking up at the stars in the sky, and I want to tell you, I was overwhelmed. I could not believe that the God who placed every star in place reached down and he pulled me out of the muck and the mire of sin. I had sinned. I thought of the day of grace. I thought I sinned it away. I trampled underfoot the blood of the new covenant and I counted it an unholy thing. But yet he still came looking for me. Yet he still loved me. And how could a God that created everything, the earth and everything in it, the stars in the sky, the sun that burns continuously, how could he love me? me. And all of a sudden, whenever I looked up and I saw those things, I was frozen with wonder. My life was just immediately, I understood why I was born. I understood that I wasn't here by happenstance. And I was overwhelmed with the reality of eternity. I was overwhelmed with the goodness of God. I was filled with wonder and amazement. Do you and I know what it really means to continuously be filled with that wonder? I was filled with the wonder of God. What does it mean to be filled with wonder? Well, the definition is very simple. Wonder. It means a cause of astonishment or admiration. It means to be excited or amazed, to be blown away. Let me just say it that way. You're blown away at what's going on. Do you remember whenever that was enveloped in your life, whenever you were completely enveloped with wonder? My question for you today is that wonder still there, or have you lost your wonder? Is that amazement? Is that awestruck? Is that spirit that you can't believe that God would love you? Is it still mesmerizing you? Is it still overtaking you? Or have you gotten complacent in your walk with God? Oh, come on. We've all been there where we've served God long enough where all of a sudden it just begins to become a humdrum thing. Well, I'm going to tell you, the God who created all things thought you up one day. He created you in your mother's womb. He knew you before you ever born. If that doesn't make you want to shout, I don't know what was. And he also knew that you were going to sin. He knew that you were going to turn your back upon him. Yet he knew that he was going to convict you one day and you were going to come to the bleeding side of Calvary. All the wonder of God, the amazement of this great God that we serve. I'm going to tell you, we serve a good God, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have a sad song to sing. If I get a little bit oppressed, I begin to think myself happy. Oh, come on. Paul told King Agrippa, I think myself happy. It's time to think on the good things of God. Count your blessings, name them one by one. See all the good things that our God has done. We don't have anything to complain about. I read an article of the great evangelist Gypsy Smith. This man preached in Great Britain, in the United States, also revivals in the early 1900s. He would oftentimes, while he was preaching, break out singing. Now, I'm not ever going to do that, so don't worry. He would break out singing, and one man came up to him after the service and he said, Mr. Smith, Brother Smith, I would suggest that you start taking singing lessons and sing from your diaphragm. To which Mr. Gypsy Smith looked at him and said, I don't want to sing from my diaphragm. I want to sing from my heart. Oh, what he was saying is, I'm not interested in all the calisthenics of religion. It's a heart thing. I'm not interested in a preacher who can preach everything just right. I want to hear somebody who's got a song in their heart. It's hard to get water from a bucket when there's no water in the well, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, come on. You ever heard somebody sing and you know that they don't believe what they're singing? I want to hear somebody sing who's got it down in their soul. Our song leaders got it down in their soul. I'm going to tell you, I want to know that God is real, and then I can convey that truth to a lost and a dying world. Gypsy Smith was once asked later on, what's the secret to the freshness of your ministry way into your 80s? To which he responded, I have never lost the wonder. I have never lost the wonder and amazement of Jesus. He's altogether lovely, ladies and gentlemen. It's Jesus. He is wonderful. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Messiah. He's the bride and the morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He is my deliverer, and he is my soon coming king. I don't ever want to lose the wonder of who he is and what he has done. and what he's going to do in the future. Listen, our future has been planned out, and that ought to make you shout another shout right there, because the devil may begin to attack, and he's going to attack the people of God. But I got news for you, devil. I've read the last page of the book, and I know that we win. Whenever you know you're going into a battle and you already know the results of the battle, it gives you a whole lot more confidence to fight the fight that you're going into. I don't want to lose my wonder. A good question for you and I to ask ourselves from time to time. Have I lost my wonder? Am I getting complacent? Am I getting too used to this thing that is miraculous and wonderful? When the Holy Ghost moves in this church, don't take it for granted. The Spirit of God does not move in every church. When you feel the Spirit of God during the singing, the ministering of the Word, don't take it for granted. You don't feel that everywhere. What we need to do is look up to heaven and thank Him, and we need to be amazed. We need to be awestruck at the wonder of Almighty God. I believe this is one of the main points of our text in Matthew 18. It says in verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. Where's Elijah at? Can you help me, Elijah? I mean, unless you become as a little child. Sit right here, Elijah. This is what Jesus did. I mean, this guy right here is a singer. You have heard this guy sing. This young man loves the Lord. But, you know, a lot of adults would look at a little child and they just brush them off. You know, the older I get, the more I love little children. I think I'm in grandpa mode. I'm in grandpa age. And I just love everybody's baby. And I ain't even have a grandchild yet. I've been talking to Caleb and Emily. But, you know, I don't want to push anybody into anything. But it's just that way. And Jesus took a precious little child, someone who would seem so insignificant, and he set him in the midst of adults, of the disciples. And he said, look at this little child. Look at this little child. Unless you become just like this, you shall no wise enter in the kingdom of heaven. Think about it today. What was Jesus referring to? Was he referring to immaturity? Absolutely not. He was talking about something deeper. Why did Jesus do this? I believe that Jesus took the little child because he wanted to show those adults that thought they knew everything, that thought they had so much wisdom, that thought that they had reached a certain place in their spirituality. He wanted to show them the template, the standard of kingdom living. What is it? What is it about a child that the Lord loves so much? I'll tell you what it is. It's the wonderment of a little child. They're amazing. At everything. They believe everything. You know, I don't like Six Flags. As a matter of fact, I'd rather take a whooping with a belt. And I remember I used to get some good whoopings than to go to Six Flags. But you give me a grandchild, I'm going to act just like a child. Amen. The wonderment of a child. Their eyes light up and they have an imagination. I love little kids' imagination. I mean, you just go and talk to these kids. Ask them what they want to be when they grow up and ask them to tell you some stories. I'm talking about some entertainment that will keep you on the edge of your seat for a long time. They've never lost their wonder. Think about that. That child has an excitement. They have an imagination. They have a thrill about them. They're thrilled about everything. I'm going to tell you, God wants us to get back to a place where the seemingly small, insignificant things in our spiritual life cause an excitement again. Whenever we see or hear a blind man getting saved, I'm talking about spiritually blind, passing from death to life, that ought to make us want to shout the victory. When we hear the songs of Zion, the old rugged cross, does it still make it feel like it used to make you feel? Oh, if it doesn't, you may have lost the wonderment. Oh, listen, children have not lost their wonder. They have not been here long enough to get used to it. That's what happens. We get used to things. We get used to things. We go through this thing enough where we're just used to it. Children, they still have a sense of surprise. Anything can happen. Everything is new in the mind of a child. I believe Elijah, he just turned 5, right? Shake my hand right there. October the 26th. My birthday is October 26th. Brother Fraze, October 26th. And Hillary Clinton, October the 26th. He's like, I'm just going to put my serious face on, get through this. And at 4, you have all the questions. At 18, you have all the answers. With a child, every turn of the road may hold some glad discovery. And the most common boring day is glorified by the clamor of imagination. Everything with a child is 1/4 fact and 3/4 fantasy. And that makes for an interesting life. But all too soon, and sooner now than ever, they lose their wonder. Just like oftentimes, we lose our wonder. Do you remember, before all these video games and internet allurements, how kids used to play outside? Man, we had a good time in the dirt. Moms, dads, grandparents, I got some news for you. That dirt ain't gonna hurt your children. It'll help build their immune system, and they won't die of disease at an early age. I believe in, and I'm just a different individual. I believe in getting exposed to anything you can get exposed to while you're healthy. Amen. That's another message. I'll preach that next week. But listen to me today. When I was a kid, I had an imagination. I'm telling you, you know, me and my friends, we'd go outside, and I was a special ops, special forces military man. I would parachute down in my mind in the Russian woods during the Cold War in the 80s, and I was going to rescue one of our captured men. I'm telling you, I had a wild imagination, and I understand you're thinking, well, Brother Matt, if you still had that wonderment and you thought you were in a wilderness somewhere, well, you'd be in the Rush State Hospital. I understand that principle, and I understand in the natural sense, you got to grow up, you got to develop, but when it comes to the things of God, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to growing up, I believe that we are to graduate from the milk unto the meat of the word. But listen, we're never, never, never to graduate from being in love with him, from being awestruck of his presence, from the wonder of why he came 2,000 years ago. And how could he love an old sinner boy like me? I'll never get over the cross. I'll never get over the blood covenant. I'll never get over the fact that I was a sinner, a wretch, and he came looking for me, and I don't ever need to get over it. The mercy of God is a wonderful thing. But in time, as we age, we lose that wonder. We lose it. We lose it. We get too mature. We get too grown up. What a tragedy. What a tragedy it is. When we're in a Pentecostal church, we serve God all of our life or maybe 5 years, 10 years, and we lose something. Well, it's time to regain it. I'm preaching this on the Sunday before revival. I believe that we need to regain some things. I believe there needs to be a consecration that's committed from us back to God one more time in this last hour. We need to get back our wonder of the things of God. In the light of this text in Matthew 18, I know there's 3 kinds of people. The first kind of person is children that I'm preaching about today that haven't lost their wonder, who get excited about every little thing. And then there's the childish is the second type of person. There's a lot of childish people in the church today. Today, in many churches, they're filled with spoiled adults. They have been petted and pampered, and no kind of preaching pleases them. If the wrath of God is preached, it's too hard, it's too severe. If the love of God is proclaimed, it's too sentimental. I do believe in a balance of preaching both because we need it. Listen, those childish people, they look for everything to complain about. Listen, whenever you are in a backslidden condition, there will become a critical spirit when it comes to the house of God. You'll start looking at everything and every reason not to come to church. That ought to be a spiritual gauge to you, says, oh my, I need to check myself before I get completely wrecked spiritually. Hear me today. That's always a gauge. Whenever that childish person, now I'm talking in the light of this text, number one, there's the child, and then number two, a childish person. Everything offends them. Everything. I'm telling you, nothing's right in the church, no program, no individual, the singing, the preaching, everything, even the temperature. I told these guys up here, I said, I don't care about myself. I just want to make sure these people are okay. I care about that. But listen, we need to care more about what others are around us that are comfortable than we in every aspect than ourselves. That childish person is always looking to become a victim. Oh, listen, you remember that old song? Excuses, excuses, we hear them every day. People who don't want to come to church. You know something? COVID-19 was detrimental to the church, much of the church around the world. It's helped our church. But to much of the church, it's caused them, those that were on the fence, teeter-tottering, it caused them to completely get out of church and not come back. Listen to me. We are human beings, and we are weak and frail. You got to be guarded against your own weaknesses. And I want to tell you, once you get in a routine, you get in a certain mode, you start skipping church, I can tell you, you'll make every excuse in the world of why you don't need it, and you can come next week. No, I need the body of Christ. Listen to this old song. Excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. And the devil, he'll supply them if the church will stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Anybody ever sung this in those old Assembly of God churches when we were younger? We need to sing that again, Sister Tierney. In the summer, it's too hot. In the winter, it's too cold. In the springtime, when the weather's just right, you'll find some other place to go. Well, it's up in the mountains or down to the beach or to visit some old friend. Or to just stay home and kind of relax and hope that some of the kin folks will start dropping in. Well, the church benches are too hard and the choir sings way too loud. Boy, you know how nervous you get when you start sitting in a big crowd. The doctor told you, now you better watch them crowds. They'll set you back. But you'll go to the old ball game because you say it helps you to relax. Well, a headache on Sunday morning and a backache on Sunday night. But by work time Monday morning, you're feeling quite all right. While one of the children has a cold, pneumonia, do you suppose? While the whole family had to stay home just to blow that poor kid's nose. I give an altar call right here, right now for that one. Well, the preacher, he's too young. I hope that's me. And maybe he's too old. The sermons, they're not hard enough. Or maybe they're too bold. His voice is much too quiet-like. Sometimes he gets too loud. He needs to have more dignity or else he's way too proud. Well, the sermons, they're too long or maybe they're too short. He ought to preach the word with dignity instead of stomp and snort. Well, the preacher must have... be the world's most stuck-up man. Well, one of the ladies told me the other day, well, he didn't even shake my hand. I've had that happen to me. Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. And the devil, he'll supply them if the church will stay away. It's time for us to grow up. It's time, ladies and gentlemen. I am not trying to be insensitive. I understand life happens and there are certain situations. But I'm going to tell you, when you regain the wonderment of God and you see this Christ in all of his radiant glory, you won't look for an excuse to miss the house of God. Come on, I'm going to go to my next point. But the third person appears when genuine revival takes place. Church members who quit being childish and become childlike. You can call it anything else you want to, but that's it. Here are the keys to the kingdom that Paul says in Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is head, even Christ. Not childish, but childlike. I want you to think about the wonderment. Jesus placed the child in the midst of all of these adults and said, unless you get your wonder back, unless you get your humility back, unless you begin to act like a little child, not childish, but childlike, the beauty. Listen, they can have a little argument, a little fuss or fight. They don't hold a grudge. They're playing together 60 seconds later. Right there, give me some of that right there, boss. Have you lost your wonder? Do you remember when you were crazy in love with Jesus and had to tell everyone about him? You couldn't keep quiet. Do you remember when you would not dare miss a church service? Do you remember whenever you operated in the three most important qualities of a Christian life? And that is love, fear, and obedience. David Wilkerson said those three aspects are intertwined. They can't be separated. You cannot be a Christian and live a victorious Christian life without operating love, fear, and obedience. Listen, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he said, I'll pray the Father and he'll send you another comforter. There it is, love and obedience. The Bible is very clear that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You're talking about a God who created you, who can just speak the word, and he determines your future. He just determines your miracle or the lack thereof. We need to get back to having a godly fear of a holy God who is altogether holy. The angels right now are crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The whole earth is filled with his glory. But then we grew up after we were awestruck with the great wonder of God's love. We became educated and established in experience. And now you look with common dissension, even distaste, on these brash young Christians like you were once like. I know this church isn't like that. I don't see that. But I know for a large part in Christianity, we get to a point where we're old enough and we've matured enough. We've been in this thing long enough where we know. Well, I can tell you, we don't know as near as much as we think we do. I want to stay on the cutting edge. I want there to be a fire burning within me. I believe in being educated. I believe in rightly dividing the word of truth. But I also believe in burning with a flame, a passion, a desire for Christ. I still believe in the basics of this thing. Oh, come on. I don't want to fall out of love with him. These children, they will love unconditionally. Are you with me today? But once we learn, we get educated, we become complacent. Everything changes. Oh God, bring us back to the wonder of the majesty of Almighty God and give us that awestruck feeling again. Not just a feeling, but actions that will follow those feelings. I heard of a young man down in South Alabama who had such a profound conversion to the Lord. When he was saved, his parents thought he was crazy and they sent him to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist ask him, where were you born? And he said, well, I was born twice. Which time are you talking about? The psychiatrist cleared his throat and asked the father's name. He said, your father's name, please. Well, he said, I've got a heavenly father and an earthly father. Which one are you talking about? The psychiatrist said, where is your home? He said, I've got a heavenly home and an earthly home. Which one are you talking about? By the time the appointment was over, this is what I read. I don't know if it's a true story or not, but folk in Alabama, they're a little different. You know what I'm saying? They're good folks. But by the time the appointment was over, the psychiatrist had to go to a psychiatrist. He didn't understand. I understand this, that they don't understand about our God, and they don't understand how good it is to know him. When you know him, it is life. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all about knowing Jesus, not knowing about him. Oh, listen, religion is hanging around the cross, but Christianity is getting on the cross. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Let me tell you, brother and sister, if you have lost that glow that you once had, there's a price to pay to get it back. You got to pay a price. Brother Matt, what do I do to get it back? You got to get back to the basics. We think that we have to have this intense, detailed intellectual program to get us back. Listen, all you got to get, you just got to get to Jesus. That's all you do. You got to make it a priority. You got to become so desperate, just like that woman with the issue of blood. She said within herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know that I can be made whole. You got to say within yourself, I'm going to get to Jesus no matter what the cost. I'm going to get to that word. I'm going to get to that altar. I'm going to get to that church. And then I'm going to tell you, once you get that right, you get back to the basics, your heart and your mind, your spirit will once again be filled with the wonderment of God. Do you remember the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2? Can someone come to the piano? Thank you, Elijah. You can go sit down. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you, man. Do you remember the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2? At the church of Ephesus, their doctrine was right. The Bible does not say that Ephesus was a worldly church. Ephesus was not playing bingo in the basement. Right? They were a good church. They were a powerful church. They were still sound in doctrine. The Bible says that when the Lord addresses Ephesus, he says, I see your good works, I see your labor, I see your patience, I see that you cannot bear them that are evil among you. They had it going on. They were right. They were doing everything right. But they had left their first love. You can work in a bakery till you lose your taste for the bread, ladies and gentlemen. You hear me? You can work in the bakery till you lose your taste for bread. You can work in the church until you lose your taste for Christ. I used to think that losing your first love meant that you had to be a confirmed backslider and you'd quit praying and reading your Bible and going to church and paying your tithe. But that's not the case. You can be in the middle of church work, teaching a class, backsliding with a Bible under your arm. Just like Samson of old, you remember? Samson did all of the things. He had all the calisthenics of religion right. But he left his first love a long time ago. He started breaking that vow, started disobeying the word of God. It's always whenever you're in disobedience and rebellion to the word, it's always a telltale sign where your love is. It's always a telltale sign of where you are in your relationship with God. Samson of old, he found himself in disobedience. God was still with him. God constantly anointed him against his adversaries. But there came a day that God had enough. Oftentimes, we go through the motions and we're like, well, look, I'm still being blessed. Look at our finances. It can't be that bad, or God wouldn't bless me. Look, everything's going right in my life. I'm being blessed. And you can fill in the blank of all the blessings God could give you in your life. Here's the scary part. I've heard this said many years ago, that God's the only employer who will fire you and still let you keep your job for a little while. Samson broke that vow, and God still anointed him. She said, Delilah, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He arose just like other times, and the Spirit of God was still on him. You remember he touched the dead carcass of an animal, which was against the Nazarite vow to touch a dead animal, to touch a dead carcass. He did it, and God was still with him. He kept breaking his vow. But there came a time that Samson was awakened by Delilah, and she said, Samson, the Philistines be upon you. He told her the secret. His anointing was in his hair. She shaved it all off. The Bible says that he arose just like other times. And this was a different time, but it seemed like every other time. And he shook himself and wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed. I don't want to be like that. It all goes back to your love life. Everything goes back to your love life. You get your love life right, everything else will fall into place. I'm just going to tell you, that's just the way it is. When you get your love life right, when you fall in love, I'm going to tell you something. You'll die for this gospel. You will give up everything for the gospel. But whenever your love's not right, you're not going to do it. You're going to do what you love the most. You're going to give to what you love the most. All of your time and energy is going to be focused on what you love the most. It always points back. Our finances, our time, and there's one more. But those two are always telltale signs. What we think on are telltale signs of what we love the most. You can get into a place where it's a battle of the wits and a bustle of works, but you've lost the wonder. You might as well stop the work. Nothing under the sun can be as dry and flat and tedious and exhausting as religious work without wonder. Are you with me this morning? Nothing is more tiring than going through the motions and working. It can be worse than a job because it's not just physically taxing and mentally taxing, but it's spiritually taxing because every devil in hell wants to destroy you. We got to get back to our wonder and amazement of God, falling in love with Him. God told the church of Ephesus, remember where you've fallen, go back and do the first works, or else I'm going to come to thee quickly and remove the candlestick out of its place. Many years ago, on a train crossing the United States, everybody was unhappy on that train. Very hot. It was way before air conditioning was put in the train. It was a very stuffy coach. Everyone was miserable except for one man over by the window. There's always one on every train. He was having the time of his life. Everybody's miserable. Every once in a while, he would look at the passing scene and say, wonderful, wonderful. Finally, somebody couldn't take it any longer, went over to him and said, friend, the rest of us are miserable. You're having the time of your life. What is it? What is so wonderful? And he said, I was blind a few weeks ago, and there was a simple procedure the doctor performed to my eyes, and I can now see. He said, and what is perfectly commonplace to you is out of the world for me. It's just like a brand new Christian who's filled with amazement and wonder at God. Where did we lose it? That's our problem. Can we stand? That's our problem. But we can get it back. I want you just to look at your hands for a minute. This is a simple little demonstration. Look at your hands. Isn't that amazing? We are fearful. I mean, just look at the individual beside you, in front of you. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're the redeemed of the Lord. Why are we here on this planet? You ever thought that to yourself? And like, whoa, wow, this is unbelievable. Whoa. You ever done that? Am I the only one that does that? Am I the only one that just looks at this thing and going, oh my, wow. I'm a human being created on a planet, and there's a pull between hell and heaven for my soul. And we lose our wonder, and we get so blind to the spiritual things. We look at a brand new baby, and I love little babies, but it's the greatest miracle besides being born again of the Spirit, the new birth, a natural birth. Look at the baby. God created that baby. Listen, I got some hard news for some of you who don't believe in the Word of God, the infallible Word of God. We did not come from a rock. We did not come from an explosion. It didn't happen. There is an intelligent Creator who was before the world ever began, and He created us. Think about this. When's the last time you stopped and just, now we're tired, we're weary, we got jobs, we got laundry, we got children, we got relationships, and we're just going, 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 going. You know what you need to do? You need to stop and slow down and sit down for a minute and look around and let your mind go back to some simple things. We need to go back to the simple things of life. Our God is so good. He loved us. He created us. Not only that, when we were sinners, He redeemed us by the blood of His own Son. Think about it. One more illustration. We're sitting on the threshold of the coming of Jesus Christ. There are prophecies that are being fulfilled that was written 4,000 years ago and 2,000 years ago. Brother Darren Smith sent me another article about someone in one of the states just got a chip in his right hand and is using it for the bank system. I mean, we talked about this before. We had heard that the chip had come out 15, 18 years ago, but we knew the technology was there. Listen, everything that was written in Revelation, the mark of the beast, the grievous sore that's going to be given where the mark was, you know what happens in tribulation whenever they get that mark? It's going to create a grievous sore. They think that the battery or whatever, the lithium in it, whatever it's made out of, is going to explode in the hand, creates a grievous sore. Every single thing in Bible scripture that was written 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, it's just unbelievable. And we go, praise the Lord. It's here. Let's go to church. Praise God, you're at church. But we need to come back and regain our wonder. Regain our wonder. You could be in Africa right now in a tribe that's never heard the gospel. You could be in China right now. And you could be in a home where Buddha was taught is the God of this world. You could be in the mountains of Honduras. Some of you would probably like to be there right now. But you could be a resident there that makes $2 or $3 a day. That might be more of a blessing than a curse. Here's what I want you to pray this morning. Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes. If you're a complainer and you're a nagger and you're prideful, just tell the Lord all that stuff. Say, I'm sorry. I have been so unthankful. I gripe all the time. I see the negative in everything. You know what? I got a word for you this morning. If you see the negative in everything, everybody's bad. Everything's wrong. You need to go pray through. And I say that with all love and sincerity and gentleness. Pray through. Get that thing under the blood. Lord, help me to see differently. Saul of Tarsus was on a street heading to do more damage to the church. And one day, he was blinded by a light. This man killed and imprisoned Christians, and he thought he did God a service. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a religious man. He was blinded by the light, and he heard a voice, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, Saul, it's hard to kick against the pricks. And then he begins to tell him who he was. Jesus begins to talk to this man. He's converted on a street called Straight. Listen to me. Sometimes we're so hard-headed and so rebellious that we got to be made blind before we can see again. Sometimes we are so hard-headed that the Lord has to bring a very serious trial our way to get us back on course. You can listen to the still small voice, or you can respond to the sledgehammer, because you're going to get one of the two, the still small voice or the sledgehammer. Oh God, open my eyes. Let's pray it this morning. Can we come and find a place to pray? Open my eyes, God. And let me see. I want to be filled with the wonderment of God again. I want to be filled with the awestruck feeling that you're God. The fear of the Lord, the love of God. walking in obedience, understanding that you created me for one purpose and one purpose only, to give you glory in this earth, to do your will, to walk in your ways. Oh God, help me today. Help me to see.
Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place.